All right, welcome everybody to the Express Yourself Telesummit to authentically speak, listen, and to be heard in a loving relationship. I am Ariana Fernandez, Relationship and Intimacy Coach. And in this interview, I'm speaking with Dr. Erica Goodstone. Dr. Erica is a healing through love mentor and relationship healer, helping men and women, individuals, couples, gay, heterosexual, heal their bodies through their relationships and through love. Dr. Erica, it is such a pleasure to have you here today to do this interview. I'm really excited to hear about how we can heal through listening to our bodies. And so thank you so much. If you can tell us a little bit more about that and what you do.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. It'll be fun to speak with you. My background is that I was originally a professor of health and physical education. And while I was doing that, I was always taking courses and trainings and doing too much physical activity and getting injured. So I was looking for ways to heal, and I went for different kinds of body therapies, and I kept finding out about different ones. And eventually, I came to a type of mind-body therapy known, it's really body-oriented psychotherapy, and it was combining talk with touch with a variety of touch methods, Alexander technique, Feldenkrais, these gentle movements that confuses your body so that you move your right arm in a certain way and it releases your left shoulder, things like that.
That's
and
really
the other one, Alexander, I found it fascinating, and I kept on training in all these different body therapies. Each one revealed something different. Craniosacral therapy talks about the craniosacral system and the membranes surrounding your brain that get constricted, and as they get released, the cerebrospinal fluid moves more freely through your body. And, you know, so it's been an ongoing training of all different kinds of body therapies. And then I trained in counseling and sex therapy. And over the years, I've understood so much about the mind, body, and spirit connection. I've done a lot of work with many spiritual masters like Guru Mai and Joel Goldsmith, who created the Infinite Way, so that I'm combining a variety of things that lead to an understanding of the mind-body-spirit connection.
Oh, wow, that's really interesting. And isn't it common, I've been hearing a lot of us who came to our work through our own journey and from a need to find something new for ourselves. And it's also great that we can bring our own experience to our clients and share with them, you know.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah. Same for me.
The other piece is that I got into a doctoral program. It was in human sexuality, marriage, and family living. And my advisor at the time, the main teacher who was on my dissertation committee, he was taking some training in social work and found this theory by Dr. Margaret Mahler. She worked with mothers and infants in the first 3 years of life and discovered that when the bonding between the mother and the infant was not good enough, the infant developed separation anxiety, anxiety about merger, anxiety when you get close to someone. It's like anxiety about intimacy or about marriage, and intense ambivalence. And I discovered that I had all of that.
Wow.
And so I went on a quest, you know, not only the spiritual aspect, but to really understand men and women. And I actually took one training called All About Men, All About Women. And after that, I got married. It just did something that shifted my
Congrats.
Mindset.
Right.
But the only thing is, the problem with just doing a weekend workshop and finally you break through and you can do the thing, you can get intimate with someone, you can get close, but it doesn't teach you how to be in a long-term relationship where there's so many ups and downs. And that's where the ongoing, I don't want to call it work, the ongoing self-reflection and counseling and mentoring and coaching and whatever you can get really makes a difference.
Well, I totally agree with you. I've been really firmly focusing a lot on the practical applications because I feel like you said, you got a lot of education, but if you hadn't put it into practice, you probably wouldn't have come as far as you have and been able to heal the areas of your body and your life that you needed to heal. And it is an ongoing thing. Like you said, you know, one workshop can kind of, you know, break you open and allow you to go to the next level, but you're still living your life. And if you don't have the tools and the keys to work on that relationship ongoing, you know, my focus is relationships. And this is really interesting. I'd love to know a little bit more about how our body, you know, we can learn more about our intimate connections and our relationships through understanding our body.
All right. So now I gathered some facts. I love talking about the facts about the body because the facts about relationships could be nebulous, but the facts about the body, you know, it's really, you could see it. So your brain, I'm going to first talk about our brain. It has like three major sections. There's a lot of ways to explain the brain, but one section is the prefrontal cortex, which is our thinking mind. You know, that's the thing that's at the surface, but our unconscious is really much more powerful. Then we have a midbrain, which has all of the different aspects that we know of as brain functions. And then there's this limbic system. And the limbic system is where the emotions are stored and trauma. And, you know, you get stuck at a certain age or a certain moment. So that's just one little aspect of the body, that these aspects of the brain. But some of the facts about the brain, we have 1 billion bits of information that we receive every second.
Wow.
1 billion bits of information. And if you're in survival mode, if you are being attacked or in a relationship in survival mode, your brain is flooded by 100 billion bits of information.
Wow.
So if you ever wonder why you're not thinking clearly when you're all upset about something, that's the brain functioning. Then we get to the heart. The heart has 5,000 times the magnetism of the brain. But your heart needs to be in coherence. It's a state where it's in coherence with the brain and it's flowing freely. And the HeartMath Institute has done a lot of research on the heart and what happens when it's not in coherence. And when it's not in coherence, the thoughts and messages that go back and forth between your brain and your heart become jumbled. So that's another thing that happens when you fall in love. Your brain, the messages, it's when you fall in love and it's confusing. The person's rejecting you and they say they love you, then they don't. All that stuff, and you end up sending jumbled messages to your brain, or the brain sends it back. And that's just the heart and the brain. Then we come to your gut, and that's called the second brain, the enteric brain. And this is interesting because there are something like 500 million neurons in the gut, which is five times as many as the neurons in your spinal column. And
amazing.
Then the part that really, it's all amazing when you hear the real stats about the body. And then you think that serotonin is, and the hormones are flowing from the brain. But 95% of the serotonin, the feel-good hormone, and 50% of the dopamine in your body is stored and flowing around in your gut, the abdominal area. So also stress hormones like acetylcholine and other stress hormones. And there's a vagus nerve that goes from the gut all the way up to the brain, And when that is constricted or blocked, the messages get confusing. And our digestion and our elimination are happening in that gut area. So you can imagine if you're stressed out, the other piece is the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. To be in a good relationship and be sexual and enjoying it, your parasympathetic nervous system, the one that helps you to relax and let the blood flow, that's what has to be operating. If your sympathetic nervous system is taking over, you're going to end up having problems. It'll create tension. It cuts down digestion, cuts down, cuts down a lot of the things that are going on in your body. So it's like, it's all amazing. That's my little bit of facts about the body. So
that's
if you
really
think that your that your body doesn't matter, you know, it matters a lot.
Yeah, that's really interesting that, so all of this is, you know, if it's, if there's like you said, confusion, or if there's constriction, or it's kind of all those systems get out of alignment, you know, then we start to get, you know, have probably our actions, you know, I mean, when you're, if you've ever felt constipated, or, you know, that really affects just your well-being, you know, you're just not feeling well, you're not acting, you know, in your normal state. And just, that's just one thing that I can think of that, that can happen. So it's really important. I love this, these facts to pay attention to. And what other things can we do or learn from our body when it comes to handling relationships and communicating with our partners?
Well, I would say to really listen to your body. So if your neck is hurting, think about, is this someone who's being a pain in the neck? Someone constricting me. If your back is hurting, you know, the different parts of the body refer to different chakras and different meridian lines. If you look into the different kinds of body therapy available, the Asian body therapy looks at meridian lines, and they are connected to the organ systems in the body, like the lung and large intestine, the heart, and what they call the triple heater and the small intestine. These meridians are connected to the issues in your life. And the chakras, there are lower chakras and higher chakras. So when you understand the energy, you understand that if something is happening with your partner, if you pay attention to your body's going to tell you something. Like he just said something you don't like and your stomach tightens up. What that would mean is something to do. I can't digest this. I can't understand it. I can't, you know, feel it right now, whatever he's saying. But it could also be another important thing is to listen to the tone of voice. So someone could be saying, I love you, but their tone of voice is saying something else. And your body is not softening and feeling great, even though they just said, I love you. So...
I think there's so much to listen to. We need to teach this to young people. I think, you know, how there's when we're young, I think we take a lot of things for granted. And especially when tone of voice, I really like that, because some people feel like they have to say those I love you words. And they might not really feel it. They feel like it's an obligation. And if you really looked at their, like you said, if you looked at other things besides just the words they're saying, probably you can even look at their posture, their body language, you know, look at the other markers, right?
Not probably.
Definitely.
That would be a good thing to do. Like someone, even when you meet someone, I mean, I studied some bioenergetic analysis where Dr. Alexander Lowen taught this, and he taught about the body parts and how you hold it. So, for example, someone who, when they're walking or standing, they lead with the bottom part of their body. They lead with their pelvis, and their heart is pulled back.
Mm.
That's an indication that they are not, they don't have a totally open, receptive heart. So if you see someone like that, you know, or if they're standing like with a puffed up chest, you know, that, that kind of look all puffed up, you know, it's a lot of ego and it's not solid. And I remember working with a client once who I do this gentle body work to help someone to open up, to express their emotions, to discover what the emotions are. And one time she was lying on the table saying that she wanted to break up with her boyfriend and he didn't believe her. But as she was saying it, her lower back was arched. She wasn't solid. She was just like flighty. So I had her stand up. And when she was standing up, she said, she role played with me as if she wanted to break up. And she looked like she was up on her toes and you could knock her over. That's how light she was and how I don't know what the word is, but it was hard to believe her because she seemed so easy to be a pushover. So I had her bend her knees and get into a solid stance, you know, and feel the grounding. And then when she said it, it became so much more believable.
Wow, that's
coming
really
from
interesting.
That
yeah. You
strong,
know.
Grounded position. And you say something. And I remember when I was working with Alexander Lowe, and once my boyfriend at the time said something or did something, and he said, someone would do that to me once, but they would never do it a second time because of the way he would respond and the,
wow.
you know, the clarity with which he would respond to the person.
Hmm.
So there's
that's
a lot
really fascinating.
To that.
We, you know, in you hear a little bit about body language and, you know, but I don't think you really, I think this, just taking it this step further at really like what parts of the body give you certain reactions. And like you said, you know, you're saying something, but in your heart, you're not really secure about what you're saying. Your body's going to betray you, right? I mean, I have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've had conversations with people who I knew were intimidated by me or who were not wanting to, I don't know, something. They wouldn't look me in the eye and they would look down at my shoes. And I felt very uncomfortable by that. And I felt, you know, disappointed that they wouldn't look me in the eye. And I thought, oh, well, you know, maybe they're just shy or something, but I think that's maybe, you know, a little bit more, right? Something.
Well, I've seen this a lot with women dating men, that she meets a guy and he's got a bubbly personality and he talks a lot. So she's enjoying the conversation and he brags about his business and his money, and, you know, she knows he has money, and she sees, oh, I could be comfortable with this person. But she sees something. He's looking around. He's not looking in her eye. He's maybe looking at younger women or someone around. She sees that, but she overlooks that stuff and just goes into the relationship, and it doesn't get better. As
right.
they get into the relationship, whatever that stuff was that she wasn't paying attention to, it gets exaggerated as she gets close to him. If she's just being real and close, she's
wow.
being open. He's not being that way. So he probably gets uncomfortable when someone is that way. So he's going to make her wrong, criticize her, maybe walk out on her. And then she walks around feeling like I'm not good enough.
Right. It's an intimacy thing, right? It's an intimacy.
Yes, I've seen that a lot. If you want intimacy and you want to be open, you really have to choose somebody who wants to be open. And if they don't, then you have to really see it for what it is. And, you know,
yeah.
approach them. If you keep being open and so loving and they're not like that, you're giving too much. It's not equal. And it
yeah.
doesn't give the other person a chance to open up to you. Another example I can think of that I discovered with people who have had sexual abuse with touch. The person who's been abused, if you go after them and touch them aggressively, you know, even if it's not aggressive touch, but you're just coming into their energy field and touching them, they're going to tighten up and be less receptive. But if you back away and you give them more space and give them room to come to you, they could come around if they feel safe enough. So it's the same thing with somebody who's not open to intimacy. They have to really feel safe. But the problem is they don't look like someone who has to feel safe. It looks like a guy who's successful in business and comfortable and confident, but he might be good in the business aspect, but in the emotional part, he could be having problems.
Yeah, I can definitely see what you're saying. One of the things that I loved about when I first met my husband was his attention and focus on me. When we would go out, I tend to get distracted, not because I'm not paying attention, just because I'm kind of empathic. So all the things coming into me get me distracted. So I have to work really hard to focus. But he really just, you know, every time we were together, he was listening to me, focusing, looking in my eyes. People would come and talk to him. He would say, excuse me. And, you know, just little things that I hadn't experienced before, where I, previous relationships, I was cut off when I was talking. I would not be paid attention to, you know, I would be made fun of for like slight mistakes of grammar even, and not always put first. So it was what you're saying, some of those little tells that people take for granted, right? You kind of take it for granted, like you said, if you allow that behavior at the beginning and you let it, you know, and you think, oh, they're just, you know, distracted or they're just nervous. And like you said, they have every other quality that you might want, that it's going to get worse. And
the problem is to know that these are the qualities that are important.
Right.
All that other
right.
stuff that they have, the job and the money and the house and the boat and all that stuff, that can be fun for a couple of days.
Right.
But for a close relationship,
yeah,
it could last, but you can suffer. You can get into that relationship if he's open to it and spend your life suffering. Because he's not paying attention. He's doing all those same things for the rest of your life.
Right. Those things don't change, is, you know, and I think, and like you said, it's about awareness. You know, we don't, we're not born knowing these things. You had to study a whole lot to learn this. And I think that's why the work you do and the awareness you bring is so, so super important, because these really aren't things, you know, even in mainstream, let's say, you know, even in mainstream psychotherapy, you know, you have to take extra, you took extra courses, certifications and all that to do this. So this is like another level. And I really love the fact that, you know, I think the more aware we are, the better equipped we are. And now what I'm thinking is that probably with your clients, you find the same things. Once they start to learn about their bodies and what they're, like body is telling them, then what's the next step? They use this information to apply it and improve their circumstances, or maybe even communicate things that they didn't have knowledge about, or I don't know. I'm just thinking like you're...
Right, well, it helps you to trust yourself so that you see, you know, I don't like that this person's looking around. It's not necessarily really helpful to keep telling that person, you're looking around, why are you doing that? You know, that can really turn someone off because he doesn't want to look at himself. I'm saying it as if it's always the man. It can go either way.
You're right. Yeah.
It could be the woman who does this looking around and isn't centered. It more often I think it's the man, but it can be the woman too. But once you have that understanding, it's like once you get involved with someone who has an alcohol or drug addiction, once you really see a person and live through it with that person, you will not be fooled the next time you meet someone that has an alcohol or drug addiction, because you're going to see the signs. You're going to recognize them. You're not going to make light of them. And so it's the same with any signals that you get about what's going on with another person. And once you really understand this and see it, and if you get a taste of the opposite of what's really caring, it's really hard to go back to the other.
Yes, that's exactly my experience. My experience is like I am holding on to this man like like nothing else, because he has given me you know, all of those things, and neither he nor I are perfect. And but it's just, you know, we like you said, I don't like to call it work either, but we place emphasis and focus on these things and on making our experience the best for each other. And we came to it with certain natural traits, right? And then it's also working together in the things that maybe we are not like similar on, or maybe we don't completely 100% agree on. But yeah, it's a totally different world once you experience it. If there's anybody in the position that, you know, right now has somebody, like you said, who you're getting these uncomfortableness in your body, or you're not feeling right, and you've been accepting things for a while, once you experience the difference, it's really and it's out there. It really is. But
there's a whole other part to this, and that is your family upbringing and what you're used to, what attracts you. You know, you can be with someone who's wonderful and listening to you, and you don't feel any desire for that person, because what you desire is someone difficult and someone who's not going to quite be there for me, and a challenge. And, you know, so I'm not saying for every person to get rid of anybody who, you know, is not just present and listening. If you love the person, you know, sometimes that's what he is. He isn't this perfect person, and he isn't so caring, but you love him. But you've got to be clear about who he is. Don't keep trying to change the other person. They can improve through counseling and coaching, but they can just improve. They're not going to become a completely different personality.
Right.
I don't know anybody who has a different personality that I've known for 20, 30, 40 years, no matter what they've done. They have a certain personality, a certain way of being.
Yeah, and it's definitely acceptance and awareness. And then, you know, acceptance and awareness, really very, very important. You know, this is so fascinating. We could probably go on, talk about all the different body types, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about the gift you have for our listeners here. So if you can talk a little bit about your video.
Yes, I have a series. I have a book series, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me. And then they have become Kindle books, portions of it. And I also have an audio series of Healing Through Love. And then I have a video series, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me. So the gift that I'm giving for this event is the Touch Me, Please video. And it talks about the power of touch, the importance of touching your own body, touching and caressing your body. Don't say these mean things to your body. Don't say, I have bad knees and a bad back and a bad shoulder. But say it in a different way, that my shoulder needs attention, or my back is hurting. What can I do to help my back to feel better? Just treat your body like a member of your family, like a little child, a baby, and love it. And so I also talk in this video about the different kinds of body therapy that are out there. I just briefly talk about like massage therapy and craniosacral, polarity, Traeger, all different kinds of body therapy, Asian body therapies based on the meridians, chakra therapies, energetic therapies, somatic awareness, and the body psychotherapy, which is more comprehensive. Most of these types of therapies require someone to get training in the touch therapy aspect. But in body psychotherapy, the people that do that work are trained in the touch therapy and also trained in the counseling. So that's why that can be really powerful.
Oh, that's wonderful. That sounds like a wonderful, wonderful video. And I do, you know, so important to be in touch with our body. And I love what you said about talk to our bodies nicely. We should always do that. And so I really want to thank you for being our guest today. And I hope you all go ahead and check this video out. It's wonderful. And I hope you enjoyed, everybody enjoyed today's session. Thank you so much.
And thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank
you.
Fun
to connect.